Hi, welcome to episode 453 of the Fantastic Forecast. I'm Dave Elliott, and I'm going to party like it's 1999. Of course, on December 31st, 1999, all I did was watch TV all day, so that's not saying much. Today, the 453rd issue of the Fantastic Four, it's Fantastic Four, Volume 3, Number 24, with a cover date of December 1999, Last Farewell by Chris Claremont and Salvador La Roca. I must say, I love the title of this issue, Last Farewell. Sounds like someone's going to be leaving. Will it be Valeria? Alyssa Moy? Alessandre Stewart? Franklin's dog? Who cares? I just want one of them to leave. But if all four of them leave, I will be overjoyed. Last issue, Reed was worried about an approaching storm, and this issue begins with it raining, and Sue's got her force field up, but still, everyone is getting wet. They should have listened to Franklin's warnings last issue and got umbrellas. But it's not just any other storm, it's a temporal storm, as the FF Watch, the island of Manhattan, starts to change. First, looking more like a futuristic city, and then like a futuristic city in ruins, and then it looks like a city with dinosaurs, and finally, it looks like a city that's been taken over by the Chinese, which isn't really all that far off. And despite this crazy storm, guess who's still on the job? Willie Lumpkin! But not the old guy, but a hot young female Willie Lumpkin, Wilhelmina Lumpkin. She's trying to deliver mail to the FS warehouse, and for some reason, she has to climb up a ladder, and then she looks down over a wall? Is this what she has to do to deliver the mail? Climb a ladder? She sees the FF and friends on the ground, recovering from the storm, which is now stopped, and everything is back to normal. But they only think it's over. When they get their mail, they see that the letters have come from all the strange and different realities, mostly due to the strange variety of postage stamps. So later, the FF are getting ready to eat dinner, and they're discussing the fact that they called around the city, and it seems that only the FF experienced that storm. Franklin is moping around, and he says that he feels like it's all his fault, due to his power to make his dreams come true. Valeria says that she has the power to neutralize Franklin's powers, so he doesn't have anything to worry about. But then Johnny's worried about that. Like, what is this crap Valeria is talking about? Neutralizing Franklin's powers? That might not be a good thing, Johnny thinks. He still doesn't trust her because her last name is Von Doom, but Sue tells her brother to calm down that Valeria has earned their respect and trust. Reed enters the room with a stack of papers and books, information he says he's gathered on the approaching chaos storm, which is a code-approved way of saying the approaching shit storm. He lays out all this stuff on the table, and Reed wants everyone to have a look and see what they can figure out. Later, Franklin is playing with his dog, riding his dog down the hallways, and comes across Johnny and Alessandre alone in the room together. So, of course, Franklin stops, looks in the room, and spies on him. He's just a young boy. He's curious about what adults do when they're alone with each other. And then, things get really hot, in that Johnny flames on and heats up to his Nova Strength flame. This particular room, here in the crazy warehouse, is like Doctor Who's phone booth. It's bigger than it looks, and Johnny's trying to figure out how far it goes. Bored, Franklin hops on his dog and he rides down the hall to check on Ben. Maybe Bounty is back, but nope. Ben is busy talking to a bunch of holographic projections of other characters like Captain America, Professor X, Tony Stark, etc., but none of them seem to be much help with the so-called chaos storm that's coming. Franklin is really worried about this storm, but then he runs into Valeria, and he realizes something. Since Valeria hasn't been born yet, that must mean that they all survive and everything turns out okay. Other than the fact that his dad probably dies, and that doesn't seem to concern Franklin. Valeria tells him that the storm doesn't work like that. The storm breaks all the rules! The storm makes up its own rules! The chaos storm sounds like a 1970s TV cop. Reed, meanwhile, is making plans to deal with the storm by creating a giant force field over the Earth and the Moon to protect it from the storm as it passes. But there is a pretty big flaw in his plan. The storm will also destroy the sun. So what good is saving the planet Earth if the sun is destroyed? So Reed discards the idea, even though I have an idea. How about putting a shield around the sun too? Problem solved. Outside the warehouse, Valeria is showing off her soccer moves to Franklin, saying that she learned everything she knows from Mia Hamm. I guess that means that at some point Mia Hamm is an employee of Dr. Doom. Inside, Susan is watching her children play and worrying about their futures. She's holding some weird pink crystal. The crystal splits in half, and a voice says to Sue, "I suspected you might call, Susan. How may I help?" Let me guess who it is. Oprah. That seems like the best person to call in such a situation. But before we find out who it is, we go back to Johnny, who's heading out, leaving the headquarters and flying across town. Near Wall Street, he comes across a group of bank robbers with a bunch of highly advanced weaponry, which Johnny melts. Later, uptown, Johnny comes across the bad guy, Hydro Man, which must be a fight to see if Hydro Man can extinguish Johnny's flames before Johnny can evaporate Hydro Man. I'll assume that Johnny wins, because later, Johnny finds himself fighting one of my favorite obscure characters of all time, the 1970s trucker, Razorback, the guy with the big pig on his head. Razorback isn't even a bad guy, so I don't know why he's fighting Johnny Storm. Meanwhile, on the Lower East Side, Ben is walking along, dressed up all nice, dress pants, a tie, fedora. He's looking really sharp. He's getting some attention from some of the civilians on the street, including a group of kids, the Yancey Street Gang, who try to drop water balloons on him. But Ben seems to have a shadowy protector who catches the water balloons in midair, sparing Ben the humiliation and sparing the city thousands of dollars in destruction that would be caused by Ben in his reaction to getting hit by water balloons. His shadowy protector leaps down and to say hello, and it's Bounty, you know, the bounty hunter. And she's still going on about how she has the hots for Ben. And she's not even blind. Ben tells her that it's not going to work. Yes, she's a woman, and Ben is not interested. So, she goes in for it anyway, and she gives him a kiss, thoroughly disgusting the boys in the Yancey Street Gang, who get their super soaker guns ready. They're out for revenge. I'm not sure revenge for what. The Yancey Street Gang never made much sense to me. At this point, Ben's been the thing for something like 6 or 7 years, I suppose. The original Yancey Street Gang who first gave Ben trouble back in issue 15, they've got to have grown out of it by now. And these new younger kids, what's their beef with Ben? Of course, my nephew is constantly trying to shoot my eyes out with a series of projectile shooting toy guns, so maybe these boys are just being normal boys. You know, little pricks. Next, we see that Sue is packing up a small spaceship for Franklin. In the worst case situation, they're going to shoot Franklin out into space, Superman style. Now that's a neat what-if story waiting to happen. What if Earth was destroyed and Franklin was sent to another planet? Of course, Jor-El gave his son a bunch of important information about the history of the Kryptonian people. Sue fills the spaceship with a bunch of unnecessary shit. Toys, a teddy bear, a Spider-Man t-shirt, a baseball bat and ball and glove, and a copy of the new Harry Potter book. Now, isn't that cruel? Because if the world is destroyed in 1999, Franklin will read that book, and he'll never find out how the series ends. So later, Ben, Bounty, Johnny, and some other dude are at an outdoor cafe, when they see the FF flare in the sky. Ugh, still with the flare! At this point, the characters have cell phones. The FF flare has always been impractical, but in the age of cell phones, it's completely unnecessary. Also, just think about the normal everyday citizens of New York. They look up and they see that big FF flare in the sky. They are going to panic. They're going to shit their pants because something bad is going to happen. So later, back at the warehouse, everyone is dressed up really nice for a nice dinner. So they have a nice time, which is weird because the world is in danger. Usually Reed works non-stop, takes no breaks until he finds a solution. But here he's just laughing and having a grand old time with his friends and family. And I use the word friends loosely when referring to Alessandri and Bounty. How is Bounty all chummy with the FF anyway? She was hired to hunt down Alessandri Stewart. But now She seems to have forgotten all about it. So anyway, there they are, all partying, like it's 1999. I just had to say that one more time. It's fun. So later, Sue is putting Franklin to bed, and Reed is thanking her for the nice dinner. Reed says they have 4 days before the chaos wave hits, but he thinks he might have a way to protect the Earth and the Sun. So with the problem seemingly solved, Reed and Sue have time to get it on. In the middle of the night, an alarm goes off. Reed jumps out of bed, and he sees that the chaos wave is now ahead of schedule. So now, all his plans are screwed. Sue grabs Franklin, and then the room gets all screwy for a minute, as reality loses all meaning. Man, I hate when that happens. But then things get back to normal, and they head off to that little spaceship that Sue was preparing earlier. They put Franklin inside with his nanny, Alisande. You see, this is the difference between the Richards family and the L family. Jor-El couldn't afford a nanny. They were going to put Valeria in the ship, too. But Valeria comes by and shuts the door because she's staying behind. So the ship blasts off, and Johnny calls everyone out to the roof. They head up to the top, and they see a giant tidal wave about to engulf Manhattan. Which is weird, because Claremont just did the whole giant tidal wave thing over in the 1999 annual. But he's doing it again. That's the end of this issue, and the end of another decade of Fantastic Four adventures, going by the cover date, and the end of the 20th century. I'm not buying that crap about the 21st century starting in the year 2001. It started in 2000, so I say. Coming next time, the FF kick off a new year with a double-sized issue with the return of Dr. Doom and the introduction of another new female character with giant boobs, Lancer. Also, Dr. Doom has a group of people working for him, mostly women, with giant boobs, of course. We'll meet them as well. It's a double-sized issue with quadruple number of giant boobs. If you have any questions about the Fantastic Four, about this podcast, or if you need relationship advice, you can email me at podcastff@gmail.com. You can download other episodes at iTunes or at www.podcastff.podbean.com. So long, kids. This podcast is over.